When I was younger, especially in the summers, I did a lot of camping. I went to a camp in North Carolina where I would spend usually a month at a time. And part of that four-week experience was multiple campouts, at least one a week, where we would go up high on a mountain somewhere in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and we would trek sometimes for the whole week, camping out each night of a given week. And one of my favorite things to do was to sleep without the tent. If the weather was okay, I would just get outside of the tent and look up at the sky and see the stars. And I could see the stars in a whole different way than I ever could when I was at home in Tyler, Texas, surrounded by pine trees and the lights of the city that kept me from seeing as clearly as I would want to see the stars. But to be able to just to lie down out there and to gaze up at the stars, you would see shooting stars going across. Some of my friends claimed to have seen alien ships passing by. I mean, there were some weird things that you could see at night that were really unexplainable, where there weren't any planes or anything that were going around. But just to be able to look up and to just be caught in the wonder of looking at the stars. Now, this isn't an actual photograph of me doing that, but it was a lot like that. And as I would look up at those stars, I would just wonder how far away they were. And I would wonder where I was in the midst of all of that, my place in the universe. If you look at some of the Hubble and James Webb photographs, I guess that's what they're called, that have been made, billions of light years away, where you can see all these different galaxies, you can see other universes, and you can see, I mean, that is just such a beautiful, beautiful image. And as we look at those, sometimes we wonder as a world, where are we? And we feel so small, we feel so random. And for me, being able to look at the stars, I understood more about God and God's creation and just the awe of all that God has made. But also feeling like a little speck in the universe, wondering if God knew me, if God knew where I was on that campout, if God knew that I was on the top of that mountain thinking about Him. Sometimes feeling quite random, like maybe I'm just one of those stars that's out there amongst the millions that I could see. We all have those thoughts, don't we? Wondering about our place in the universe. Have you ever wondered if God knows where you are? Like right now, this morning at 11:12, some of you probably missed that we were starting at 10:45. And so you wondered, like, where am I? What am I doing? What's going on here? And sometimes we wonder about that, don't we? We wonder and we feel sometimes that we don't matter. I mean, it's easy to think about when you look at something like that, I mean, do I really matter? Maybe my problems aren't as big as I thought they were in the span of all that God has made. And what I would say to you today is that you do matter, and that God knows where you are, and that God loves you. As we lit the candle of love earlier, it is, I think, the most important candle other than the Christ candle. As we think about hope, and as we think about peace and joy, all of those come together in that word love, that God has made us. God has made all of that. And as we continue to discover more and more universes and more galaxies and all that is out there, I believe we can continue to learn and experience of God's love. Well, probably Mary must have felt that same way as well. As she looked up at the stars in that night there in Bethlehem, wondering a little bit about where she was in the midst of God's plan, scared to death. By the way, today, and I don't know if you've seen some of the images, I think I have one to show at 5 o'clock. Bethlehem is a very depressing place right now, as you can imagine. All of the tourism, all of the celebrations, the services, all of that that would take place right there in Bethlehem are not taking place. It is a place of war. There is no peace there today. And as we think about that, we can also think about what it was like for Mary. Probably not quite as scary as it is today. Certainly they didn't have bombs that were dropping, but she certainly knew of the oppression that she was living under the Roman government, that she was not free, that her people were not free, and that they had gone through so much in their lives. And Mary was not very old. Some say she was around 13. Others say probably 14 to 18. We don't know for sure, but we know she was young. And we know that she had to have some fear and anxiety about having this child and just kind of the weird circumstances of how all that was going to take place, right? Of how that was announced. And we hear the Christmas story and we hear about the birth, and because we've heard it so many times, we just kind of gloss over that. And certainly those who are male in this setting today really can't even begin to enter into what her emotions must have been. But those of you who are female certainly understand that, do you not? Of what that would be like and all that would be going through your mind at that time. In the midst of all of that, Mary would discover from this angel Gabriel. And if you think about it, God decides to send this angel. And there have been some plays and different things written about the different angels and some of the conversations that would be taking place. But just think, God says, Gabriel. Gabriel says, huh? What? I want you to go on a special mission. I want you to go down to earth. And I want you to go to a very specific place on earth. And I want you to go to a very specific person. And I want you to say to her these words that I'm going to give you. To go and to say, Mary, you are highly favored. You are very special to me. This is Gabriel saying this to her from God. God thinks you are special. God loves you. God has this tremendous plan for you to bring the Savior of the world into the world. And just think for a minute what she would have felt and what would have been going through her mind. And think what that would be like for you as well. To say to Mary, Mary, I have known you all of your life. I knew you before you were even born. I knew you in your mother's womb. I have known you and I have had this plan for you. And now in the fullness of time, this is going to happen. And it's going to be amazing. And you are going to be able to share this gift of love with the whole world. And Mary, people are going to talk about you from now on. You might have thought you were this forgotten person that really didn't matter in the world. But guess what? You're going to be talked about for the rest of time and even beyond time. When we all gather in heaven, people are still going to be talking about you. They're going to come meet you and talk to you and thank you for this gift that you brought into the world. I wonder, have you ever wondered if your life matters? Seems like every week I bump into somebody who tells me that they don't feel like they matter. That they wonder if God really does love them. That they've had experiences in their lives. That things have happened to them. And they no longer feel loved by anyone. But even God. And what God wants us to hear today is that you do matter, that you are highly favored by God, that God knows the particularities of your life, what's going on in your mind, in your finances, with your job, in your relationships, that God is keenly aware of all of that. And even on dark days and rainy days like today, we can know the warmth of God's love and the light that shines through the Christ child into our existence. So God knows you exist. And God knows you personally. God knows your name. The Bible says even knows the number of hairs that are upon your head. God loves you. And God has entered your world and your circumstances. Part of what we celebrate on this fourth Sunday of Advent, but also as we celebrate the nativity of our Lord this evening, is to know that it's love in action. Philip Keller, who was himself a shepherd, wrote these words. And he says, "Here we commemorate the greatest and deepest demonstration of true love the world has ever known. For God looked down upon sorrowing, struggling, sinning humanity and was moved with compassion for the contrary sheep-like creatures that he has made. In spite of the tremendous personal cost it would entail to himself to deliver them from their dilemma, he chose deliberately to descend and live amongst them that he might deliver them. This meant laying aside his splendor, his position, his prerogatives as the perfect and faultless one. He knew he would be exposed to terrible privation, to ridicule, to false accusations, to rumor, gossip, and malicious charges that branded him as a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of sinners, and even an imposter. It entailed losing his reputation. It would involve physical suffering, mental anguish, and spiritual agony. In short," he writes, "his coming to earth as the Christ, as Jesus of Nazareth, was a straightforward case of utter self-sacrifice that culminated in the cross of Calvary. The laid down life, the poured out blood were the supreme symbols of total selflessness. This was love. This was God. This was divinity in action, delivering men and women from their own utter selfishness, their own stupidity, their own suicidal instincts as lost sheep unable to help themselves." I like that. I think Keller understood something about sheep and understood something about us. But more importantly, understood something about God and God's love. Well, we can celebrate Christmas knowing of this love by realizing what God has done with this woman, Mary, with this child, Jesus, and with this plan of salvation for you and for me and for our world. Amen.